Take a Bible, turn to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, that song kind of was chosen for the message this morning on God Will Provide. And you're going to see that, I think, in this chapter as we kind of walk through this chapter along the way this morning. But we're going to read verses, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to just say a few words before we stand and read. But it seems that as God's people, we have a tendency to struggle with the will of God. I know I did. I'm speaking from experience. You know, I know that when God revealed to me years ago, a long time ago, if you will, now, that he wants me to be a preacher and he had a different direction for my life and so forth, I rebelled against it. And the truth of the matter is, it seems that a lot of people find themselves, a lot of good, godly people that know better, they find themselves struggling with the will of God, when in truth, the will of God is a place of divine protection. We're going to see that. It's a place of providence. It's a place where you will be protected. Yet I've seen Christian people go ahead and fight God's will and fight his perfect will, and they wonder why no blessing. Why is it that, you know, and sometimes we're not careful. We start comparing ourselves amongst us, ourselves, what the Bible says is not wise. But we start, how come they're being blessed? Now, let me just say this. It might be because they're found in the perfect will of God. It might be that they are where God wants them to be. And sometimes Christians will get all out of whack, if you will, with God and maybe even the church or the preacher or anybody else, simply because, and a lot of it is just, if they would just search your heart, where are you spiritually? Are you where God wants you to be? And this morning, this message this morning may seem a little bit pointed, and I kind of made a little switch this morning, but the Lord just laid it on my heart to go ahead and preach this particular message this morning, and I believe that we can take it, and I hope that we'll open our hearts, but I hope that by the end that we're desiring to be in God's will. Maybe you're here this morning. You're out just outside. You're not where you ought to be. And God maybe has put some things in your way to try to whip you around, so to speak, to get you to where he wants you to be. We're going to see this in a great life of a great man of God. But by the way, you know what God's will is to start off? First of all, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, he desires everyone to be saved. That's why he created us, to glorify him. Now, many are going to go ahead and reject him and turn away from him and not want anything to do with God. How often I see that. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? God's desire for his creation, for his human beings that he created, if you will, is for them to be saved. And the Bible teaches after salvation to get baptized. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, go ye therefore teach all nations, okay? That's getting them saved, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches, and the only mode for baptism is immersion. It's not pouring, it's not sprinkling, but it is part of God's will. God says, okay, get saved, then get baptized. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. It pleases him. Jesus, he got baptized, and when Jesus got baptized, God says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So he wants his children, okay, to go ahead and show outwardly what he did on the inside. You get saved, you get baptized, and then he says to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ. Now he wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to stagnate. He wants us to find out what our niche is, if you will. What is it that God wants us to do? You know, he wants us to find out and be in his will and grow in grace and grow and get in the word of God and get in the prayer time, if you will, and get in church and be where God wants you to be. Now, 1 Kings chapter 17, let's stand for the reading of the word of God. And we'll read responsibly verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7, I'll read and then you read. Verses 1 through 7, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, our Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd guide me this morning. Give me strength. Give me clarity of thought, Father. And I pray that we'd open your heart, our hearts, to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach to you on the subject, are you there? Are you there? There's two verses here, verse number 4 and verse number 9, that refers to that word there. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse number 9, arise, we didn't get this far, but we'll be kind of walking through the rest of this chapter this morning as well. Rise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You'll see the word there actually three times in them two verses. The context of these verses, of course, is Elijah is a man that proves that anyone can be mightily used of God. You read the life of Elijah, boy, God used him in so many great ways and so forth. Elijah is brought from obscurity and is set front and center upon the stage of history. God takes a man who nobody knew about. He takes a man and used him to shake the throne and nation of Israel. Hey, you know, God can take a nobody and make him a somebody, and we're going to see that. And by the way, you may be here today. You may be here today. You know, nobody notices me, and that's okay. Nobody cares about me. That's not okay. But I feel like a nobody, but let me just say this. You are a somebody to God this morning. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you may have in your pocket. It doesn't matter how little of money you have in your pocket. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in. You are somebody this morning. You are somebody to God. Of course, our text here, Elijah faced King Ahab boldly and challenged him and told him, by the way, people didn't do this, but Elijah did, okay? He faced King Ahab boldly and challenged him and told him that that as the Lord liveth, there's going to be no dew, there's going to be no rain. Elijah is actually issuing a wake-up call to the nation of Israel. Better wake up. Israel is in bad shape, if you will. They are serving Baal, if you will. Israel was worshiping the god of Baal. It was in the grip of pagan worship. Baal was the god of fertility. When the sun rose high, they thought they were seeing his face. When the thunder rolled in the skies, they thought they were receiving blessing from Baal in the form of rain for the earth. Baal worship was a sensual, wicked orgy of the flesh, and God hated it to its core. All the sexual promiscuity today, let me just say this, God hates it. And let me tell you something, we have gone a long ways in America today as far as all this free love and all this open sex and stuff like that. We've gone a long way. Let me tell you something, God will have the last word. God hates it. But the nation of Israel, God's people, were worshiping Baal here. They were worshiping a god. Ahab's wife Jezebel is the one who strongly promoted Baal worship in Israel. Yet Elijah issued this challenge. God was telling Ahab, I will teach you who God really is. You want to go ahead and follow false gods or let idols get in the way? It doesn't matter what it may be. It could be sports. It could be a car. It could be whatever the case may be. You want to let that get in the way? Let me tell you something. You know, God's going to reveal himself to you in a very, very harsh way, and you'll see that here. Elijah was issuing the challenge. He was telling Israel, I'm going to teach you who God really is, and I'll prove it by shutting off the rain, and there's nothing that you or your God can do about it. After Elijah issues a challenge to Ahab, God tells him to go and hide himself by the brook Cherith. Then after a time being there, the brook will dry up, and God then tells him to go to Zarephath. Zarephath was Jezebel's old stomping grounds. God promises that there is there in Zarephath that Elijah's needs will be met there as well. He says, okay, he issued a challenge to Ahab. Now you got to go hide yourself. You go down by the brook Cherith. I'm going to take care of you there. And then, of course, the brook dries up, and he was drinking of the brook. It dries up, and then God tells him to go off to Zarephath, and I'm going to take care of you there. I want you to note that word there. There literally is equal to God's will. Elijah found himself in God's will, and there he was protected. There he was taken care of. There is where God wanted him to be. And you see the words there three times in verses 4 and 9. There represents the will of God. God told him to go, told him where to go, and he went. He went, and he didn't fuss about it. You know, and God says, hey, I want you to go down to the brook Cherith, and he went ahead and did it. Boy, it'd be good if we would go ahead, and when the Spirit of God reveals to us what he wants us to do, it'd be good for us to do it. You know, and it might be because we get out of the whack or get out of God's will, or we're not in the will of God. It might be that's why we're not receiving the blessings that He wants to go ahead and give us, because we're disobedient and we're out of His will. I don't see any complaining in Elijah. I see obedience on the part of Elijah, and direct obedience always resulted in God's blessing. Boy, it'd be good for us to go ahead and take note of this right here. So much hardship could be eliminated if we'd listen to the will of God and follow God's will for our life. The one who is where God wants him to be today, I tell you, the one who is right smack dab in the center of God's will today, I tell you, he or she is the most sweetest Christian here today. You know why? Because they're right in the center of God's will. Let me just say this. Sometimes when you get in the center of God's will, there'll be trials. There'll be heartaches. You know, I think of, I just think of Noah. God's will was the ark. You know, I can just imagine how discouraging it must have been to be on that ark for a long time. Sending a bird out and nothing came back, and being on that ark, and of course, you think of the stench, you think of so many, tell you one thing, it surely wasn't the Hampton Inn, amen? Or the Radisson. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? Let me tell you something. But God gave him grace, and God went ahead and took care of Noah. Hey, let me tell you something. You know what? You may go through some trials. You may go through some heartaches. But let me tell you something. The sweetest person, the sweetest disposition of one today is in the center of God's will. And when they're in the valley, they're still in the center of God's will, praising God. Don't understand it, but they're learning some things from God during that time. God is revealing himself and being real close to them during that time. They're learning some precious things about God, as we'll see in Elijah here in just a moment. But the truth of the matter is, the sweetest Christian here today is the one right in the center of God's will, not pushing away his requests, not pushing away his desires, saying, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll go ahead and do it. They don't look around wishing they had more. They don't they don't sit here thinking they had a bum rap because they don't drive the car that others drive. They do not live where others live. They may not have as big a bank account as others have. They are contented, happy people because they are in the there of their life. They are where God wants them to be, and God has provided every need for them. My question is, are you there this morning? You ask, where is there? Well, first of all, there is for Elijah a brook that dried up, and later a poor widow's house. There is Noah, for Noah was an ark. There for Daniel was a prayer room that later led him to the den of lions. There for the three Hebrew boys was the fiery furnace. There for Ruth was a field owned by Boaz. There for Paul was a prison cell. There for Peter was the day of Pentecost. There for Jesus was a cross. There for a mama is to raise up her children for God and raise up her children, the children that God gave her. There for daddy is getting up, working hard, and rolling up his sleeves and punching in that time clock and going to work and being honest with that job and working 40 hours, work for 40 hours pay, and taking care of his wife and kids. That's there for daddy. There for a marriage is to keep the promises till death do us part, to love, cherish, and obey till death do us part. There for the child is to go ahead and obey mom and dad. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There for the Christian is to grow and serve the Lord and listen to the Lord and literally ask God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? Hey, I want to be in the there. I don't know about you this morning. I want to be in the there of God's will. I want to be where God wants me to be. Hey, there for your preacher is right now at this time, and I hope for a long time ahead, pastoring the finest group of people in the whole world at Faith Baptist Church in Carver. In other words, there is a place where God has placed you, and if he placed you there, then you ought to stay there. Boy, well, you know what? It seems whenever we get there, we don't like it. Something just doesn't go right. And we get all shook up, and we get all bent out of shape, and we get critical, we get mad, or whatever the case. God, you dealt me a bad hand, and so forth. We start getting upset. And the truth of the matter is, there might be some trials. There may be some things you don't quite understand. But let me tell you something. You stay there, and you trust God there, just as Elijah did. And God will reveal himself to you. There. Are you there this morning? If you're there, stop wondering if you are there, and get busy for God. You know, sometimes, you know why we don't get busy where we are? Simply because we start wondering, well, am I really where God wants me to be? You know, I had a young lady come by last Sunday. Last Sunday, pulled in from my bus, came up here. This was in the afternoon. Came up, put the keys away, and And I just was thanking God for all that he did that day. Then I went over to get some lunch, and my wife looked out the window. Somebody's here. Went ahead and saw this young lady go up the stairs here. So I said, okay, I guess I better go over. And I went over, and she walked down the aisle there. And as I walked in, she says, I introduced myself. She says, I think I can help you. She says, I think you can help me. I said, okay. And she was right there about center section there on that aisle there. She says, what is the purpose of life? I said, well, I think I'm going to have to help you in my office here. And I went over and we sat down. You could see from the moment she walked in that she had a troubled look on her face. She said, I just want to know why I'm here. Went in and talked to her for just a few minutes and so forth. I said, you know, the very beginning stages of wondering why you're here is going to start at knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Let me just stop and say this. By the end of about a half an hour, 45 minutes time, she was, as far at that particular moment, she was where God wanted her to be. She got saved. She came back to church Sunday night. Followed up on her, didn't see her. I wasn't able to see her this week. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? That's where it starts right there. She was there. She was there. There is, stop wondering, if you will, church, if you're there. And you get busy for God, find the there and you stay there. There is a perfect will for your life. When you get there, you'll know it. You'll know it. And if you're not there, you'll know it all as well. You know what? If you're not there, you'll feel miserable. When I was out of college, out of Bible college, and I knew what God wanted me to be, but, you know, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time there, but I was out of Bible college for a little while there. Let me tell you something. Even though I didn't go into any deep sin, I mean, I was in sin simply because I was not in God's perfect will at the time, but I was serving in church. God was using me and so forth. But let me tell you something. But every single day, I still, in my heart of hearts, felt miserable. You know why? Because I wasn't in the there of my life. I wasn't where God wanted me to be at the time. When you get there, you'll know it. And boy, when I finally got there and locked in, said, hey, you know, I'm going to finish Bible college, and I'm going to go on and serve God. Let me tell you something. They were the most peaceful years of my life. No, not without trials, not without some heartaches. I dealt with that and so forth. By the way, the trials and heartaches went ahead and helped prepare me for something bigger down the road. It might be, listen to me, you're in the there, you're wondering, well, if I'm there, why am I going through all this? It might be that God's trying to go ahead and prepare you for something bigger and better for God. It might be that he's trying to put you in a trial to try to teach you something, maybe teach somebody along the way something. Hey, you get there, you stay there, and get busy for God while you're there. When you get there, you'll know it. There is a lost one who needs to be saved, like that one young lady I talked about. God is not willing that any should perish. There is a backslidden one who needs to come back to God. There is the one who's been saved. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but you need to be baptized, as the Bible says, picturing the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and taking that first step of obedience after salvation. There is where we all need to be, the will of God. When one gets there, there are some things that you'll find out about that place when you get to that point of there. My question: are you there? If you're not there today, get there, stay there, and do not look back. That's the problem with some today. You've been there, and you know the peace that you felt when you're there, but something, some bad hand that you thought, something just didn't go right, something just the way you feel like it should go, pride got in your way. And as a result, you became prideful, and you started getting all cattywampus with God and the Word of God and everything. You wonder, where am I now? Hey, the truth of the matter is, you get there tonight, this morning, and you be there. Hey, number one, a few thoughts here. Number one, there is a place of promise. In verse number 4 and 9, I'll read them again, and it shall be that thou shalt, okay, here, see the promises here, thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Arise, verse number 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. There is a place of promise. God promised Elijah that the ravens would feed him, and the widow would care for him when he got to there. You know what? We want our nourishment. We want it now, don't we? But the truth of the matter is, you know what? You may not receive the real blessing until you get to where God wants you to be. God says, hey, Elijah, you get there, then you're going to see what's going to happen. I'll go ahead and take care of you. I promise you I'll take care of you, but you got to be there first, Elijah. Elijah, when he was, when he got to the place where God wanted him, he saw that God was good at his was good for his word. When he got there, the ravens went ahead. You think about a raven. You're a dirty bird. They really are. But you know, it's just, it's a miracle of God that God would go ahead and use a raven. A raven. And the God says that I'll provide that raven morning and night will go ahead and provide bread and flesh for you. When you get there, you will see God's promises will come true. He always fulfills his promise. I thank God we have a God that's literally a promise keeper. I'm not talking about the ecumenical movement now. I'm talking about he is a promise keeper, and he'll go ahead and keep his promises to you. The Bible says in Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able to also to perform. God will always keep his promises, whether we ever get there or not. He'll keep his promise. Those who arrive to the will of God in their life, are in a privileged position to see God do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know, I happen to believe if I'm not there, I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss out on some blessing if I'm not there. If I'm not where God wants me to be, I'm going to miss out on something. God, the scripture says that in Ephesians 3:20 teaches that. Those who are there will see more than those who are not there. So this morning I plead with you, teenager, you be there. You be where God wants you to be. I plead with you, mom and dad, you be there. Don't miss out on the promises of God. I plead with you, church member, church worker today, you be there. Don't miss out on the promises of God. You be where God wants you to be. God put you there, and he'll go ahead and take care of you there in his will. There is a place of provision. Verse number six, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. All his provisions were taken care of. You know what? Sometimes, you know what? Here's what we'll do. You know what? Well, God has provided, but I didn't want that. Bread and flesh again. I'll tell on myself a little bit. People like it when a preacher tells on himself. You know, and growing up as a kid, it seemed like that every meal, we had potato. Now, don't get me wrong, I love potato. I mean, I love potato. I do like potato. I like mashed potato. That's my favorite. But potato Monday. Potato Tuesday. Now, Wednesday's supposed to be, what, spaghetti night? But no, potato and whatever. Thursday, potato and whatever. My friends at school on Friday would say, hey, we're going to have pizza tonight. Yeah, I'm going to have potato. Now listen, looking at the big picture, it wasn't all that bad, but it seemed like I always had potato. And you know what? Listen to me. And knowing what I know now, especially raising a family and so forth and like that, and knowing what my mom and dad went through to go ahead and provide, and boy, they were great providers. I look back at it now, boy, thank God that we were provided for. We were cared for. Hey, listen, you know what? When you get into there of your life, God will go. God promises he'll take care of you. It's a place of provision. The ravens flew in and fed him each and every day. He didn't complain, gripe and complain. Bread and flesh again. You know, he didn't complain. When he got to the widow's house, God suspended all the laws of nature to provide for his needs and the widow's family. When you get there, you will find that God, the God who promised, is also the God who will bring it to pass. God knows how to provide for you. By the way, he knows how to provide for you better than you do. But see, what happened? We kind of lose our trust, if you will. And well, you know, God, let me, I'm going to launch out. I'm going to try things a little differently because, you know, every time you give me something, don't you get to a point where you start, God, you gave, you know, thank God for what he gave you. Like I said, what we do, we start comparing. Oh, that church member over there drives that. And I'm driving this. Thank God. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't matter whether they're driving that or driving that. It doesn't matter. Thank God for what you have. Oh, they live in that kind of house. Good. You have a roof over your head? Yes. Then thank God for it. Oh, they drive. They look at there. They're always spiffy. Praise the Lord. But I don't think, looking around this morning, that anybody's wanting or needing any clothes here today. You're here. Amen. Clothes. Amen. And thank you for that. But you know what? Thank God. He's provided for you. Well, my job, what about it? Thank God you have a job. Thank God that you have a place that you can go punch in and so forth. And by the way, if you have a job that God has given you for such a time that maybe there's something more that you need, then you be looking. But you be honest on that job. That boss, you think about it, sat down with you. And they asked you all the questions. And you probably went ahead and told them everything wonderful about you. And he believes it if he hired you. Then live up to it. If he says you're a hard worker and you says yes in that interview, okay, then you go and you be a hard worker. Amen. Amen. We're getting a little quiet here. But the truth of it, you know what, we live in such a lazy society today. You know, we want me, I, you know, that's too hard. You know, I'm going to break a nail. I'm going to get a blister if I do that. You know what, you just roll up your sleeves. You go to work and you live up to the name that you told your boss who you were. You know as well as I do all them little questions he asked you. And you painted a great picture of who you are. And that's great. And I hope that's who you are. Now live up to it when you get on the job. Amen. Moving right along. You know, there is a place of provision. When you get there, God will take care of you. How often I've been asked, well, what am I going to have to give up if I follow the Lord? Let me just say this. My friends, it's not what you give up. It's what you gain. You know what? Go down to Newport, Rhode Island. See all the mansions there and all that. Them mansions ain't nothing compared to what we're getting. You know what? You drive down some of them streets and around them mansions. Of course, they're nicely paved and all that stuff. You know, let me tell you something. That pavement's going to wear away, but the streets of gold won't. Woohoo! Amen! Oh, man, that's something to get excited about. I tell you what. Hey, you know what? It's not what you give up. It's what you gain. You gain some peace. You gain a mansion. You gain the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, because you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. That's what you gain. You gain some peace. You gain some contentment. You gain some blessings. You gain some joy. You gain some promise. You gain provision. Hey, you know what? God knows where you are, but he'll take care of you, but you got to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. You know, Elijah didn't lean to his understanding. God, I don't quite understand this, but you want me to go ahead and leave? You know, I issue this warning, if you will, to Ahab. Now you go have me go hide. I'm down here by the brook Cherith for this long. Now you got to feed me with ravens? I don't get it, God. Ravens of all birds? I'm at bread and flesh each and every day. You don't see him complaining and whining. But what I'm trying to say, you know what? He was thankful for what he had. God went ahead and took care of him. Hey, there is a place of providence. When Elijah got there, he was reminded that God is a God who works both ends at the same time. In these verses, before he commanded Elijah to go there, he had already commanded the ravens and the widow. In other words, before there was a need, God had already supplied it. You know what? Right now, you may think, I don't quite see this, but God does. I don't see how I'm going to get through this month, but God does. You know what? God will go ahead and take care of your need. There is a place of providence, a place where you can be provided for. You may be wondering, how can I make it? You just keep on trusting. You keep on giving it over to God. You keep on trusting him, and he will provide. Hey, think of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, I want you to take your son, thine only son, up on Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there. What a request. I couldn't imagine it. What does Abraham do? God, you know what? I don't think so. No. He says, okay. And all the while and all the preparation and stuff, and he goes to get his son and starts making the journey and so forth. Can you just imagine how Abraham must have been feeling? His dad, father, to his only son whom he loves? Can you imagine? Imagine how he must have been feeling. And Isaac, when he gets, of course, on the journey and gets up there, Isaac asks, Dad, what about the lamb? Isaac says, and Isaac didn't know at that time. He didn't see where it was going to come from. But you know what he responds to his son by faith? God will provide himself. You know, you may be here today and you just don't see. I don't see it. You know, God will provide. I don't understand it, but God will provide. You just keep on trusting him this morning. It's a place of providence. Those who follow the will of God and they go there and they get to the will of God soon comes to understand that they are serving a God who is not, he's not bound by limits. He's not limited. He's not limited of time and space. He transcends both, as a matter of fact. Whatever takes place in your life is a direct result of God's advanced planning. You know what? There are no accidents with God. There's no uh-ohs with God. There are no coincidences with God. There are God is never taken off guard. God is never saying, that didn't, plan A didn't work, so we got to go with plan B. I didn't say that. Never says that. God doesn't say, well, I didn't see that one coming. God does not go ahead and say, I didn't quite plan it that way, but, God already knows. God already has it planned. And you can be assured that God has total control. With God, there's a providence of God working out his plan and his will in the lives of his children. Well, if we'd really just get a hold of that truth, that he watches over us and provides us, you know what? It'd change your life. It'd change your life. It'd change your situation where you are right now. You're down in the molly grubs. You might have that maybe critical spirit. You might have a sad spirit. You might have a upset spirit. You might sit there just not sure. Maybe it doesn't matter where you are. If you would just go ahead and grasp the truth that God provides, it'll change your life. Afraid there are too many that miss out, that miss the will of God simply because they're afraid he'll deal you a bad hand. If I go ahead and serve God, because they start looking. I saw that devoted Christian over there, and boy, they went through it. Let me ask you a question. And that devoted Christian over there who's in the will of God probably never got out of whack, and never heard a pipe or peep rather out of him. He was sitting there by the grace of God. So you know what? There's something I can learn. But here's what some people do. Here's what some, I'm going to have this red mic for a little bit here because I need the exercise, but here's what some people do. You know what? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, if I sell out totally for God, then you know, I saw the cancer there. I saw the heartache there. I saw the car blow up in that family. I saw a fire in that family or whatever, a house burned or whatever the case may be. And you start comparing yourself, and the truth of the matter is you never heard a pee from them all the way through it. You saw their attitude was godly and they were right and they were trusting God all the way. And you wonder why at the end of the day God blessed him in so many ways, and God provided for them. God maybe provided a new car or some money in the bank or whatever the case may be, simply because they trusted him. And we're afraid, well, if I go ahead and sell out totally for God, you know what, that type of stuff's going to happen. You know, it may be that God wants you to learn some things in your life, and it may be he'll throw some things in your life. If you get over there, if you get over there, it won't be a bed of roses. So, well, preacher, that's not why I came to what I came to hear. You know what? That's not reality, folks. If you're looking for a bed of roses here on this side of heaven, you know, that's a perfect world, and we're not in a perfect world. You know that. You know, we have pain and we have heartache, but the truth of the matter is it might be good if some of us would just go ahead and take the example of those who've been through it and learn some things of those that have been through it instead of pointing to them. You know, if I sell out, that's going to happen to me. You know, it might be good that that happens to some of us so that we can get closer to God. You've heard me say it time and time again. You know what? Cancer was the best thing for our family. My wife will testify that too. You know why? Because it brought me closer to my family, and it brought me closer to God. You know what? I'm not going to sit back and say, well, you know, this isn't fair. I had a little bit of an attitude like that. God, this just wasn't right. I thank God. God whipped me around in good shape. And I thank God that we went through that journey together, and I saw him go ahead and provide. Hey, I need to keep moving. There is a place of power. You know, as a result of Elijah's obedience, he got to see 3 miracles. Because of time, you know, we'll kind of read some of these along the way, but he got to see 3 miracles. What had he, if he had said no to God, like some of us would, God says, okay, this is where I want you to be. No, God, no, God. You know what? Elijah would have missed out on seeing God's power. He'd have missed out on some things. He would have missed out on seeing God's power in action. He would have missed out on seeing the ravens fly in his food. I mean, can you imagine? Here you are sitting all by yourself. And maybe, you know, think of this now. You know, and I make the Bible come alive. I put myself right there when I was reading this, okay? Sitting there by himself. He goes down there. He hides himself by the brook Cherith. And maybe he starts feeling a little hungry. His stomach starts growling. Oh, God, I'm hungry. Can you just imagine? Think about this. Here he is, maybe laying, sitting up against an oak tree or something. And all of a sudden, a bird, a raven, flies in that food. That's God's power in action. If he said, I'm not going to go down there. He'd have missed it. I wonder how many of us, we missed something because we said no to God. You know, he would have missed the meal barrel and cruse of oil supplying the widow and his son and Elijah. You know, just a little bit of meal in a cruse of oil there. It wasn't enough to go ahead and feed everybody. And the widow goes ahead and says, hey, I just have just enough. Elijah says, hey, go ahead and fetch it. Bring me a cake, if you will. Read it there later on. But all I have, she says, all I have is this. I was going to go ahead and make it so I can my son and I can eat, and then we're going to go ahead and die. And you know what? He says, no, do it. Give me something to eat. And the Bible says, let me just read verses 15 and 16. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let me just go ahead and read a few verses ahead of that, just so that you know what's going on here. So he arose, verse number 10, and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was, as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And he said, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, you go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. He says, you know what? No, go get me the food. You go make me something. You know, he still goes, she explains, hey, this situation I'm in, but, you know, he says, no, you go get me some food first. And he promises what's going to happen. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth upon the rain. And then verse number 15 and 16, we read it. You know what? If Elijah said no, he wouldn't have seen that miracle. He wouldn't have seen the miracle of the ravens. Here he is sitting by the brook of Cherith. You know, he got water and so forth and so on. And he wouldn't have gone ahead and seen the ravens go ahead and feed him for days on end had he said, no, God. He wouldn't have gone ahead and seen a miracle of this lady and her son and Elijah for many days eating had he said, no, God. There's another miracle here. He got to see the Lord raise a dead child back to life, something that had never happened before. You know, he got to see God's power in action. Read the rest of that chapter. He got to go ahead and take that little child who stopped breathing all of a sudden and so forth. I believe just a little baby, maybe just a young 2 or 3 year old. And the woman goes to the man of God, and the man of God says, hey, give me the child. He takes it from her bosom, goes up in the loft, and he goes ahead and he prays to God, Almighty God. He lays upon that child 3 times, and guess what? The child starts breathing. Let me tell you something. Had Elijah said no, he'd have missed out on something that never happened before up until that time. You know, I wonder what we miss out. I wonder what we miss out on when we say, God says, I want you to do this. I want you to be in church. I want you to get in that class. I want you to read your Bible more. I want you to pray. I want you to be a godly mama and daddy. I want you to teach. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I wonder what we miss out when we say, no, God, nah, it's not for me. I wonder what it is. He got to see God's power in action because he was there. Hey, you know what? We serve an I can do anything, God. We serve an I can do anything, God.
It is God's will that we're in church when the doors are open. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. Church doesn't have to be a drudgery. Sometimes I think people, well, I fulfilled my duty. Well, if that's why you're here, praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. I love you. Church doesn't have to be boring. You know what? If you would come, and if on a Saturday night or Sunday morning you get up and first thing, I get to go to church instead of I have to. I get to go to church. God, I need something from you. You know how often I think sometimes church can be drudgery and boring simply because we don't ask God to go ahead and take our empty cup. I can't shake this too much. And say, fill it. Fill it. And instead, we kind of sit there and, okay, when's this going to be over and so forth? Hey, the truth of the matter is, you know what? There is being in church. There is being where God wants you to be. I feel like if I miss church, I miss something. Well, I just feel like I miss something. I feel like, I miss some golden nugget, some golden truth. I feel like, I know that personally, if I miss church, I'd miss my bus kids that were here today. I'd miss being a part of sitting back there and hearing the word of God taught and preached. Boy, here there's something going on. I don't want to miss it. Boy, I love seeing the cars parked all over the place, the kids running around, the puppets down here, and being even taken by surprise sometimes, amen? If you ever come on a Sunday morning and see our little puppets, boy, sometimes I am literally taken by surprise, and I was this morning. I love people getting saved. I love families getting closer together. I love seeing the families praying together. I love seeing the teens praying together and the teens, being sensitive to the preaching of the Word of God, coming forward at an altar and doing business with God. I love seeing the young children praying, coming forward. Boy, God spoke to that little heart somewhere along the way, and they're at the altar praying. I love hearing the Patch of Pirate kids sing. I love on a Tuesday night seeing seeing and hearing about the teenagers praying and hearing them going out door knocking, telling people about Jesus Christ. I love the fact that the buses are rolling. Hey, but I feel like I missed something when I'm not here. Boy, you know what? I'm there. I want to be a part of it. I love seeing people go sowing, and I love people saying amen. I love just being where God's power is flowing through. Boy, don't miss it. I love being a part of here. You know why? Because I'm where God wants me to be. I'm there this morning. It's God's will for you to walk with Him, grow so you can grow. It's God's will for us to go soul winning. You want power on your life? Go sowing. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I don't know about you, but if there is where I can get a touch of God's power, then give it to me, man. Boy, if there is where I can see God work and see, like Elijah did, see a young child raised from the dead and see a meal provided for days on end for three and see the poor widow woman taken care of and see the ravens go ahead and literally feed Elijah, if there is where I could receive the blessing of God and see the power of God and see God's power in action, I want to be there, man. I want to be there. I hope you want to be there. I hope you long to be there. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. If you have the power of God because you are there, I want to hang with you. Because I want what you have. I've said it before, preachers are my heroes. I love it when preachers just, without apology, they'll take the truth of the Word of God. I went to a conference, Brother Jenkins, the other night, and boy, I got it. I got it right smack dab in the middle. I went up to him afterwards. I said, boy, thank you. To thank you. I loved it. I love hanging around godly men and ladies that desire to have the power of God and to be where they're supposed to be. I'm careful of those who don't want to be where God wants them to be. I'm careful, because generally they start getting a little critical, start getting this bad spirit. I don't want that bad spirit rubbing off on me. I want to go ahead and step behind my pulpit on top side because I happen to know. I know some of your needs this morning. I know some of your heartaches this morning. And if I'm rubbing against people that just don't care about the will of God and don't care about the things of God and they start getting this critical spirit, I can't be what I believe you need me to be. I need to go ahead and be on top side. And guess what? It'll help you too if you will be. I've got to be careful. My contact will pop out. Some of you might have noticed, huh? I can see, I got six fingers. Anyways, moving right along, just seeing if we're awake. Amen. But listen, Listen, there, are you there this morning? And then I'll move right along. There is a place of protection. Verse number 3 and 9, you can read it, but because of what took place, Elijah was a wanted man. He had to hide. Chapter 18 indicates that Ahab was looking for the man of God because of what Elijah told him was going to happen. And Elijah couldn't go ahead and find Ahab couldn't go ahead and find him. You see, Zarephath was Jezebel's backyard. The one that spearheaded, if you will, Baal worship and so forth. That's where Elijah was, but he was in the backyard of Jezebel, and you know what? He was safe. You know, the devil may go ahead and shoot at you at every different angle. He will. He doesn't like it when people are there in the will of God. He'll do everything he can to push you out and say, you know, it doesn't look good, that's no fun, and look at what happened because you're there. He'll do everything he can. Let me tell you something. When the turmoil, when the trials, when the temptation comes, you can bet your bottom dollar that you'll be protected in the mighty hand of God. It's a place of protection because that's where God wanted him to be. There is the safest place. You know what? I stand right now in the safest place as far as I'm concerned because I'm right where God wants me to be. And I happen to believe that every single one of us, according to God's word, every single one of us is right now, at this moment, right now in the safest place that you can be. You know why? Because you're in the house of God this morning. I just believe that. Nothing can touch you there. It's a safe place to be. And there is a privilege. It's a place of privilege. You know, by being there, he was where he was supposed to be, I should say, Elijah learned more about God and his power than anyone else. Being there represented some hard times. Any step of faith is. You know, when I haven't told the story in a while, but when I came here, that was the biggest, huge step of faith I had ever taken in my life. I mean, it was huge. Let me tell you something, as a result of me, and I know I'm where God wants me to be as of 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, and I'm still where God wants me to be, and I hope for the rest of my life. But let me just stop and say this. In these 2 years that I've been here where God wants me to be, yeah, I've had the heartaches, I've had the trials, seen the mountaintops and the valleys. I've been in between, as we all have, and we've all rode them together, amen? But you know, I've had the privilege of learning more about God and his power by being right where God wants me to be this morning. You know, I've seen so, you know what, when you think of the past 2 years, and then some of you can go beyond that, since First Faith Baptist Church was first established, you know what, you can say, wow, I've learned so much because I'm where God wants me to be. Faith Baptist Church is my church home. I'm part of that church family. I love my church family. And yeah, you've trod some tough roads, haven't you? Let me tell you something. Through it all, well, you've learned a whole lot about the love of God, haven't you? You've learned a whole lot more about his power, about his grace, about his provision. Being there will represent a hard time, but any step of faith will be. But being there also afforded Elijah the opportunity to see God work like no one else. What a privileged position to be where God wanted him to be and to watch God supply his every need. You know, there are times, especially in college, but I've seen it even through the years, even up to recently. God, I don't see this. I don't see how this one's going to happen. I don't see it, God. I don't see how you're going to provide. You know, God, especially in college. God, I got a school bill here. God, you know my checkbook. There's not a whole lot there. I got to go ahead and pay for my school bill. I'm financially withdrawn. Let me just say this time and time and time again. I got to see God go ahead and do some miraculous things with my school bill, with my bills, with my health, with my life, in my family's life. I got to see God do so many wonderful things. You know, a few years ago, 2006, toughest year of our lives, the Weeks family's lives. What if I said to God, I'm done? I'm done. This isn't fair. A lot of people have done it. God, this isn't fair. This isn't right. I got thinking about that as I was preparing this. I said, God, this isn't fair. Well, I'd missed out on a whole lot. And let me just say this. I hope the majority agree anyways. If I'd have said no then, I wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't be. You know, I thank God that I stuck it out. I thank God that my wife and us, and we just pulled together and stuck it out. Because you know what? Today I can still say, I'm right where God wants me to be. Right smack dab in the middle of God's will. I ask you the question, are you there? Are you there in salvation? Are you there in your walk with God? Where are you in your walk with God? When was the last time you met with him, just you and him? Not just talking, well, I'm planning on it. No. When was it? Just put everything aside. When was it that you and him just met together? You and him. Having that intimate time and fellowship with him. Shutting everything down. Pushing everything aside for a little while. Scheduling. When was it? Are you there in your walk with God? Are you there in your service? You know, it might be, you know, God's been trying to reveal to you for a long time. I want you to do more. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I want you to take another service or a church service. Or I want you to take maybe a ministry. Or I want you to do this. Maybe there's something that God has been trying to reveal to you. The Holy Spirit's been trying. But you just said, no. Why don't you just drop that guard and say, yes, God. Yeah. Teenager, you know, maybe here today, you know, God revealed to you somewhere along the way, I want you to work for me full-time service. At one time, yes, I'll go ahead and do that. I'll go to Bible college. I'll prepare. I'll learn. I'll do this. Yes! But a little bit of water has gone downstream a little bit. And that call of God might be far away, huh? That time from whence he called you and said, yeah, I'll go ahead and do it, God. Where he leads me, I will follow. But let me ask you a question, teenager. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there in raising your family for God? Boy, you know what? Let me tell you something. In the day and age we live, moms and dads, your kids need you to be there. They'll ultimately, in many cases, do what you do. They need you to be there. They need you to go ahead and make sure you're up on a Sunday morning and getting ready, and not them dragging you out of bed, but you dragging them out of bed saying, hey, you know what? We're going to church today. Your Sunday ought to start Saturday night. Get all your clothes together. Get them all ready. And get up. Get a little breakfast. Say, I'm driving my family to church. I'm going to be there. You know, are you there in raising your family? Are you there? You know, Elijah issued a strong and bold challenge to Ahab. Said, you know what, because of the nation of Israel's ungodly-like behavior, they're worshiping other gods, they're worshiping Baal. You know what? Yeah, you're not going to see any rain. Not going to be any dew upon the earth. Things are going to be dried up. God goes ahead and tells Elijah, go down by the brook of Cherub, hide there, and I'll take care of you. Later on, after the brook dries up, God says, now I want you to go to Zarephath. And I've already talked to a widow woman there. And there in Zarephath, I'm going to take care of you. By the way, Jezebel's stomping grounds. And there, of course, he saw the miracles. Had he said no, he wouldn't have seen them. Like many of us maybe have missed some things because we've just said no. You know what God wants today? He wants you to do as Elijah did, say, yes, Lord. Yes. Whatever you want, God, yes. And I ask you the question, are you there? Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. Boy, that's very important. The most important decision of your life, my friend, is knowing Jesus as personal Savior. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, and you want to go ahead and get in the center of God's will, it starts right there. That's where it begins. And then as you go ahead and you grow in grace, and of course get baptized, and you grow in grace, and get involved in church, and God will reveal some things to you, you know what? There you will go ahead and start realizing what the there is of God's will, what God wants you to do. And as you follow him and obey his leading, it's amazing what he'll do for you. It's amazing the protection, the providence, the blessings, simply because you found yourself where he wants you to be, our Heavenly Father. God, the very best I could, this preacher could this morning, I try to present your word as clearly as possible this morning. God, I think sometimes we struggle and we have hard times simply because we don't find ourselves where you want us to be. And I pray, dear God, that you'd get somebody's heart. My desire as pastor of Faith Baptist Church, I want people just to be in the there of your will, right where you want them. That's it. I want you to go ahead and do some great things in their lives and in their families, and I want these young people to grow up and serve you and just be what you want them to be. More than anything else, I want these people to be found in the will of God. That's where the protection, as we see from Elijah, that's where the providence, that's where the blessings are. And I pray, dear God, that we'd find ourselves there. Maybe some of us, Father, we love you. Certainly thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons and what we can glean from your word each and every week. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd be with the decisions made today. I pray they'd be sealed. I pray that they would not be forgotten about as soon as we leave the doors of Faith at this church. But I pray, God, that we'll leave here closer, that we have left here closer to you as a result of your preaching and your work in their hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.